Hive Mind, How Your Nation's IQ Matters, So Much More Than Your Own. Author, Garrett Jones. Animal researchers, computer scientists, and occasionally social scientists sometimes use the metaphor of collective intelligence or a hive mind to explain group actions. Indeed, human society in every nation today is a form of collective intelligence in which the accumulated knowledge of the past makes its members richer today, and in which the many small, daily cognitive contributions of millions of other neighbors help make their lives better. The key question is whether a nation's average IQ scores are an important driver of the hive mind. Just a test score? Here's the most important fact about IQ tests. Skill in one area predicts skill in another. If a person has an above average score on one part of an IQ test, he or she probably has an above average score on any other part of the test. Psychologists often talk about the general factor of intelligence, or the G factor, but let's call it the Da Vinci effect. The Da Vinci effect means that when it comes to IQ tests, if a person is stronger in one area, that's a sign the person is probably stronger at other tasks as well. Chapter 2, A Da Vinci Effect for Nations. If we're interested in predicting success in the modern economy, in predicting the ability to analyze and use information as it exists from Japan to Italy to the United Kingdom, we'd want a test that picks up differences in the broad mental skills actually useful in these societies. And it appears that tests like this actually exist. Psychologist Jelte Wichertz noted in a paper he co-authored that there can be little doubt that Africans average lower IQs than do Westerners. Using best IQ test samples, he found that best test subjects have an average IQ score of 76. That's the 5th percentile within the United Kingdom. He also said that health and nutrition improvements, better educational TV shows, and more interactive toys could be part of the path to raising average IQ scores in sub-Saharan Africa. James Flynn and the Quest to Raise Global IQ. Economist Stella Quimbo wanted to find out how to raise IQ scores for children in the Philippines. She and her colleagues tested hundreds of Filipino children, giving them IQ tests and blood tests, and interviewing the children's parents to learn a little about the background of the children. What they learned was 1. Unhealthy environments predict low average IQ. 2. Low-scoring kids might tend to come from low-scoring families for a variety of reasons. 3. Social oppressions could cause both low IQ and the lead exposure. How easy is it to raise average IQ for a nation? Are East Asia-style average IQ scores just a few simple policy changes away from every nation on Earth? James Flynn noted in his most famous paper, Massive IQ Gains in 14 Nations, that on most kinds of IQ tests, there are big increases in average IQ scores in the long run in every country, for which Flynn had data. Those gains were later called the Flynn effect. Flynn believes that the rise in IQ scores reflects the time in the 20th century when cultural and economic changes spurred children and adults alike to use their brains differently from the past. He also believes that closing IQ gaps across demographic groups is important for achieving economic equality. But what causes the Flynn effect? In fact, there are too many explanations for the Flynn effect, some of which are 1. Nutrition and health. People in rich countries are taller and healthier and longer lived than their ancestors a century ago. 2. Education. People with more education tend to do better on IQ tests. A fluid intelligence factor, the ability to solve new problems. And B, a crystallized intelligence factor, the ability to recall old facts and old solutions to a problem. 3. Smaller families, more adult attention per child. In smaller families, children typically receive more adult attention and are more exposed to mature ways of thinking at an early age. The Flynn effect proves that big IQ gains are possible, and it strongly suggests that at least some of the IQ gains are in fluid reasoning skills that probably matter for a modern economy, and it offers the hope that nations with the lowest average scores can raise their scores through practical policy reforms. Will the intelligent inherit the Earth? Yale psychologists Shamush and Gray summarized over 20 studies and found a positive relationship, weak but real, between IQ and patience. On average, smarter people are more patient. Investment demands patience, and patience causes savings. So you might think that high IQ countries would tend to have higher savings rates. And you'd be right. High-saving countries will tend to have more investment in machines, in factories, and in computers and software. And since these kinds of capital equipment make workers more productive, the nation's output will tend to rise. The scores and government quality. Theory against the facts. Do nations with higher average test scores have less corruption, better governance, and more trustworthy political systems? Overall, yes. The Corruption Perception Index, a widely used measure of honest, transparent government, correlates strongly with national average IQ, and Nicholas Potrafk of the Munich Research Institute, IFO, has found that national test scores predict national corruption even when you take account of the fact that high average IQ countries tend to be richer, have better educated citizens, and have many other features going for them. Average IQ predicts lower corruption across countries. Additional research showed that both national average IQ and national math and science test scores do a robust job of predicting a nation's degree of overall property rights enforcement. In nations with higher average test scores, politicians tend to respect people's property. Government bureaucracies allow people and businesses to buy and sell with less interference, and bribery is less part of daily life. Informed voters and the question of epistocracy. One of the best insights from toxicology is that danger is in the dosage. A small amount of poison isn't as dangerous as a big dosage. Regular people tend to reject that idea. Their intuition is that a little is basically as bad for you as a lot. That poison is bad. Full stop. Experts disagree with the general public. They tend to see toxicity as a matter of degree. So what predicts whether people agree with toxicologists? Education. This matters in a democracy. If voters have better information, they are more likely to form their political opinions on the basis of reality, rather than rumor, intuition, and wishful or fearful thinking. Educated voters have more political knowledge as well. On epistocracy. Jennifer Hochschild is a professor of government and of African and African American studies at Harvard. In a provocative article, she states that democracies thrive best if citizens have a broad education and some level of political knowledge. Education is associated with tolerance, support for rights, civic engagement. Political knowledge is important for prospective voting and preferable for retrospective voting. These are empirical claims with strong historical backing. But the paradox is that democratic citizens have a normative as well as empirical edge. The best way to raise national average IQ, a mystery worth solving. By now, you've seen how important it is to raise IQ test scores. The skills that help people do well on an IQ test help them across their entire lives. And of course, there's a major difference, an overwhelming difference, between generally raising broad-based cognitive skills versus just boosting one particular score on one particular standardized test. The test doesn't matter, the skills do. If it's at all possible, let's find ways to rate broad-based mental skills in every country, whether through public health interventions or educational advances. It will probably take decades to see the full benefits of higher overall test scores, but the payoffs would be massive.